Okay, my loves, last week in our Heart Center membership, we had one of our most popular live workshops ever. It's called How to Heal for Real. And what it told me by having so many new people sign up, so it's part of the Heart Center membership, but we had more drop-ins than we've ever had before, is that people are craving nervous system regulation. Everywhere I've been going in public spaces where I'm having conversations with people outside of my little podcast department, I'm hearing, like, with just total clarity, people are really wanting to be together, to have real deep conversations that all get back to healing, resourcefulness, peacefulness, nervous system regulation. So some sweet things that people had to say about my How to Heal for Real workshop. Thank you. This is a powerful heart-to-heart. I feel really nourished and touched by the wisdom. That's from Nalia. Nancy said, I am reminded that I am so powerful. And what we're doing now with my workshops is we're turning them into, drumroll, audiobooks. I've been wanting to do this for ages. So I clean everything up and I create a beautiful package for those of us who can't show up for a 90-minute live Zoom workshop in the middle of the day once a month, for those of us who are listeners. So here's how it's going to work now. So as always, I've got a special discount for this offering. If you go to daniellelaporte.com/how-to-heal, that's the three words, how to heal, and you use the promo code POD108, POD108 at the checkout, then you get $8 off the audiobook. The audiobook comes with the replay of the video workshop, and it comes with a slide deck. So I'm setting you up for all of your different learning styles and this hopefully deeply illuminating and therefore deeply comforting, accessible education on how we heal for real. And I'll give you a hint. It has everything to do with resistance and choosing thoughts that help you lean into what's going on, so you're not clinging to the pain and creating suffering out of your pain. Anyway, I'm going to unpack it all for you, give you a set of four guiding questions to have you question your pain, walk through it, transmute it, and move to becoming the healer of your own life. DanielleLaporte.com/how-to-heal. Use POD108. You get $8 off. And I've got to give this checkout code an expiration date. So it's valid until 11:59 p.m. tomorrow, which is Thursday, April 11th. How to heal for reals. I'd love to give you a little behind-the-scenes podcast update before we get into today's topic, which is 10 ways that being softer, makes you much more powerful. So if you've been listening for the last 2 months, you may have noticed, thank you to all the OGs who like come along for this podcast journey with me, you may have noticed that we had some ads popping up on the podcast. So, you know, there I would be talking about all things love and light. And then suddenly out of the blue, there would be a podcast ad from somebody else in a different voice talking to you about Botox. That's because I put my podcast on another network to get distribution and to finally start maybe having some sponsors show up in this space. And it just obviously did not jive as soon as I found out there were those kinds of ads being inserted into the podcast, which I give the green light for ads to appear on the show, but it gets to a certain level where I don't have a final say about what gets, you know, slid in. So anyway, as soon as I found out that those types of ads are being run, I just totally pulled the plug and decided to not run any more ads from this particular network anymore. And I love my integrity. I love that I am able and my team will back me up to just like do things really swiftly like that. Where that has left us is algorithms, networks, advertising, it's been messing with my numbers. So the podcast isn't getting in as many earbuds as it normally did. So typically there would be many, many thousands of listens and downloads and subscribes. And then we saw from the data that as soon as we got on this network, things started to plummet. So needless to say, we're going to make a shift. I'm going to get back onto solid, sacred ground and bring in sponsors that I'm aligned with, things I've actually tried and loved and that I really want to pass on to you. All that to say, this is a day in the life of a podcaster. And if you want to help spread the love, amplify the light, and get these notions of healing out to other people, you can help in a couple of ways. One, it's really helpful if you actually subscribe to the podcast. So you'll get notifications. And then when you actually listen, there's a little extra step you can do, which is you can let the podcast play until the very end. Even if, you know, in the last 30 seconds, you're like, ah, I heard everything Laporte has to say, and this is like the finale. By the way, I always try and close with a teachable, a wisdom nugget at the very end. So I'm not selling you on something in our last few minutes together. So I try to like embed a diamond in that last minute or so. Even if you need to peace out in advance of that, if you let the podcast go to the very end, that kind of triggers another kind of ranking for us. Full listen through ability, just made up that term, actually means something. And then of course, if you can leave a review, that's really the gold stardust, sister. Okay, today's topic is, well, they're all close to my heart, but this one is truly deeply lived experience for me. It's about how becoming softer actually has us step into, become more receptive to our true power, capital true, our divine nature, our higher consciousness. And of course, you know, not trying to be contrarian, but it ends up rolling that way lots. This approach, this perspective is counterculture to the dominant subtext, toxic, patriarchal, imbalanced, masculine approach definition to what success looks like and what power truly is. So let me give you the definition of soften. Having a pleasing quality involving a subtle effect or contrast rather than sharp definition. The sound of a voice that is quiet and gentle, not strong or violent, comfortable, delicate, easy, flexible, pliable, rounded, silky, smooth, supple, velvety, flowing, fluid, yielding. That is who we are when we are in our heart center. And this is a counterculture antidotal move to, I think, the majority of the ills on the planet. Okay. Now, for most of us, underneath our suffering, underneath our pain, which we focus on so much that it becomes suffering. Did you catch that? Let me give that one more time. When we focus too much, when we grip onto our pain, we pile on more resistance to the pain. We have painful thoughts about the pain. The pain escalates into suffering. Underneath that suffering, for I think the majority, is some form of self-recrimination, some dialogue where we're getting down on ourselves for not being over it, not pushing through it, not being up to it. We start to have this inner narrative of things like, I should be over this by now. Or if I were more evolved, more enlightened, more powerful, I wouldn't have brought this on myself. I should have known. I should have been more conscious. I did the workshop. I did the 5 steps. I am certified in this stuff. And here I am now. We say things like, I should be back in the game by now. I should be over this by now. I should be more anything but what I am now. And this is where that grip of self-judgment, self-criticism, inner mean girl, self-recrimination really starts to tighten its grip. And that judgment wraps itself around our pain and it says, don't move. You're a loser. Don't move. Stay right here. And we can't get out of the maze. And we get more brittle. We feel more bound. When we get more bound, we feel more defensive. We toughen up. The mind starts to get stricter. It gets more narrow. Our container called the mind gets full of a lot of ideas and opinions about who we should be, where we should be on the spectrum of success. You're going to hear a theme in the 10 points I'm going to offer around softening. Obviously, around compassion, but maybe surprisingly, around radical self-responsibility. And I think this is really the space of spiritual warriorship where we become more gentle, softer, more tender, and simultaneously we practice radical, almost joyous, not almost, truly joyous responsibility for our reality. I think it's, the vibe is, it's where we hit this sweet spot of servant leadership kind of energy. It's divine mother kind of vibe. It's spacious. We're patient. We're present. And that can only happen through softening. It's really, are you ready? This is the most overused word of the day. It's really nuanced. Gentleness is counterculture. It's a nuanced perspective. It's really the life-changing power of self-compassion. With softening, we reframe fear. We become receptive to higher guidance. This is where we're really using the intelligence of the heart to create conditions of healing. And we know what's one of the most healing substances there is. Gentleness, sweetness from the mama, giving ourselves a break, giving other people a break, which, by the way, creates a lot of healthy, positive magnetism. So I used to be, I don't know, could I say the opposite of soft? Yeah, there was a lot of, what I call it, lack of softness. Yeah. Didn't mean I was necessarily like stern, never been a stern person, but you know, I had my era of brazenness. I had my era of emboldened life hacking where I motivated myself. Instead of being inspired from within, I was motivated by things to attain, external things as a recipe for adrenal fatigue and disaster. So I was motivating myself to keep moving forward no matter what. I would say, you know, life is waiting for you. My success is waiting outside for me. I thought I could meditate my way into joy because joy was waiting for me. So there was this like, I'd even have this kind of pushy quality in my spiritual practice. Of course, you know, I went through years of just like sucking it up. And look, motivation and meditation and pushing and sucking it up, those can be so meritorious. Those can be like the wisest move to make if it's coming from internal inspiration, if it's on behalf of your wholeness and your integrity, and it's something you're moving towards, something that's going to benefit not just you, but, you know, all beings. So those are useful practices, the push. But I think the most powerful practice of all for creating lives that we want, the world that we want to live in, has nothing, or at least very little to do with motivation or sucking it up. Endurance is no longer number one on my list in terms of secret to my success. I think the most powerful elixir, the cure, the remedy, the solution, the galvanizer, the waker-upper, the surge of strength is softness. I think the most powerful, moving, creative force, at least in these current times, maybe in the galaxy, is gentleness. You don't want to forgive? You don't want to be gentle? It's understandable, my love. I get it. You need more time? You want to hang in there? You're not ready to let go? I can see why you might think that. Feeling a little bitter because you need a break? Well, of course, you so deserve a break, a major fucking break. But first, we have to soften. And I know it's counterintuitive when you feel like you are maxed and taxed and hard done by, and we're living in a world of immorality and injustice, but we need to soften now in the midst of the chaos. That's the kung fu, right? We have to befriend ourselves when we think we have screwed up so severely. It's the opposite of what so much in the wellness space tells us to do. So you might be hammering yourself and criticizing yourself because you're in pain again, and you think you need to be tougher, more enduring, wiser, more savvy, so it doesn't happen again. But the breakthrough moment that's going to change everything and actually get you back on track on a higher ground is to soften. I have worked really hard to stay in the driver's seat of my reality, to stay awake and stealth and to try and figure out what everybody was thinking and what the next best move is and right action. I'm not a fan of victim mentality. I don't want to create a reality for myself where I feel like things are happening to me. I want to flip the script so that I see that everything is happening for me, as cheesy new age as that might sound. But I got to a place where I realized the most invigorating, corrective, vitalizing power set of words, mantra I could give to myself was, yeah, poor you, this really sucks. Not keep going, not rise above, you know? I mean, those are great mantras sometimes, but my greatest change and where I really stepped into queenship actually came from that softening with my own content. Just say, yeah, this is really hard. Of course you don't want to forgive. Of course you need a break. You deserve a break. I just became more gentle, and I began to exhale with my to-do list and my chronic feeling like I was always about a decade behind of where I wanted to be. And then that gentleness created a relaxation with my egoing, and solutions started to appear. I didn't get lazy. I didn't stay stuck. I actually became more able to see all the possibilities laid out in front of me. The gentleness enabled me to be more discerning, and discernment is a fierce form of strength. All right, let's go. 10 ways that being softer makes you more powerful, actually. Number one, you make self-compassion a priority. Not just a priority, I think the numero uno priority, because your reality begins and ends with you. You make self-compassion a priority. Compassion is the combination of mercy for yourself. You are wishing that you get a break on life, because what a beautiful thing to wish for anybody. You wish for yourself to be able to pass go, to get to the front of the line, to be fully abundant, to be blessed. You give yourself a break when you slip into addictions and unhealthy behaviors. That time you flew off the handle, you're compassionate. Say, poor you. Of course that's how you reacted. And guess what? tomorrow's going to be a better day. And we take your family of origin into consideration, and you're doing the best you can do with all the information you have and the stress that you're under. It's okay. You are still the beloved. Self-compassion is your priority. That creates calmness. The calmness creates open-mindedness. And when you're open like that, the wisdom from your higher self can pour in. Secondly, you might not be expecting to hear this when it comes to being softer and more powerful. You sincerely apologize for any harm that has been caused. You sincerely apologize for any harm done. What happens when you take that courageous, loving step? You're going to break down some walls. You will burn down some ego. The masks are going to melt for sure. Sincerely apologizing is not the same as asking for forgiveness, but it's pretty close. It's up there with awesome virtuousness, because the modesty that comes with sincere apologies is a very pure kind of power. So then, you know what I'm going to ask? Who you need to call? What's the text you need to send? The conversation you need to have? The letter that needs to be written? Few pointers on apologies. You're going to commit to it not happening again. You're not going to expect, certainly not going to demand, that your apology be well received. Definitely got to go in without the expectation of being forgiven at this time. And you're going to show up with your full-heartedness and your true loving nature. You're going to be all radiant, sincere, in integrity, say what needs to be said from your heart, and then you're going to move on. No matter what kind of response you gave, you're going to be, is proud the right word? You're going to be in full recognition of the beauty of this action of offering a sincere apology. You are actually doing your best. You bless the moment and then you release it. You don't attach any self-aggrandizement to how rad you are, spiritually speaking, because you showed up with your sincere apology. You just, you stand in the purity of the moment and then you move on. Okay, third on the list, you protect yourself. And by protect yourself, I don't mean barricading yourself in your gorgeous heart in your house or behind some kind of, you know, personality bravado construct. I mean that you're going to honor and respect your whole beingness as something precious to be cherished, to be nurtured, to be protected, and with the goodwill of everybody involved, but ultimately your own sanity and your own wellness. You're going to do whatever it takes to create a protective life. So my relationship with protection has had this kind of pendulum swing. I'm much more sane and centered about it than I used to be. So, you know, I used to not let people in my house because, ew, I didn't want to deal with all the saging I was going to have to do afterwards. I was like pretty guarded. And even on my dating journey of being like single post-divorce for 8 years before I met my beloved, who I'm going to marry soon, I really walked through that whole like dude landscape of like, bring on my king, but don't even try. Then I swung to, I don't know if it was the far extreme of just like letting everybody in, but I just let down my guard and realized that love was my greatest protection. That in terms of metaphysics and esoterica, knowledge really is power. I know a few things about energetic dynamics, Archangel Michael, and the like. And that if my intentions were to protect myself from a place of self-cherishment, instead of walking through the world in fear of energetic cooties and that someone was going to slime their family of origin karmic shit all over me, then I was going to be okay. I was not going to get latched onto by the heebie-jeebies. Now protection for me looks like gossiping way less. I am not yet the Yogananda level of sainthood, so I do love a good shit talk about people once in a while. But I became aware that when I gossip about someone, it's obviously creating negative karma for myself. And it feels like that becomes magnetic for just like more negativity. It becomes an opening for people to talk smack about me, which, you know, I don't have any control over. But it became heavy. Like I could say something shitty about someone and then be in their presence and then be thinking guilty thoughts about it. And then that little magnetic ball of energy hangs out in my auric field. It creates a gap between my more intimate, loving connection with that person. Just like too many little barnacles. So yeah, less gossip is a form of self-protection. I also don't talk about other people's business. So there is that other level where you're not speaking about someone's private life. You're definitely not speaking ill about them, but you are disclosing just a little bit of extra information with somebody that maybe that person that you're talking about would probably highly likely prefer that you do not share, you know? So I just like, do not volunteer extra details about other people's life and conversation. Sage is definitely part of my life. Not a crazy sage lady, but definitely on the dark of the moon, new moons, full moons, Sundays when I clean my altars, after I've been in a crowd. Maybe I am a crazy sage lady. I sage my shoes a lot in my closet. If you want to know more about all of that, I've got a practice called Write and Burn. It's part of my Heart Center membership, or you can get it at daniellelaporte.com. It's a very simple practice that we do around the moon times. There's a lot of salt baths in my life. Salt is one of the most powerful substances we have to clean this gunk, the residue out of our auric field. There are a lot of candles in my life that I use for reminders. So I can light a particular candle in the morning as a wish for someone's healing. And every time I pass that candle throughout the day, I say another prayer for that person. I'm currently lighting prayer candles for the ease of exiting for all departing souls on the planet, particularly those in war-torn areas. I light candles with intentions for purifying my own thoughts and my own prayer practice. So protection for me comes from light. Hey, are you stressed? It's just me. And I want to know if you would like to know more about your stress. Do you want to talk about your stress? How about you try my stress quiz? It is a really simple self-guided inquiry. It's going to take you about 5 minutes. It's free for you to uncover if your default stress reaction is to fight or to flight or to freeze. If you head to daniellelaporte.com/stress quiz, I mean, was there ever a more compelling URL ever? It's a little quiz with big breakthroughs. The whole idea is that you get clearer on what your unconscious survival strategies are that throw you off balance. And then we can help you get to the antidotes, to the counter moves, to more conscious responses to the challenges of life. It's quick, it's fun, but of course, it's deep. So, ready to find out? daniellelaporte.com/stress quiz. Okay, point number 4, softening, expanding your mind. So imagine your mind like it's the aperture of a camera. So my guiding premise, especially with my book, How to Be Loving, is that your heart is always open. You never close your heart. It's impossible for you to be quote-unquote closed-hearted to somebody, to anybody, to anything. The heart is vast. It's your true nature, your Buddha nature, your Christ consciousness, your original self, as big as the sky. It's the mind that we put around who we think we are. We think we're little, we're small, we're superior, we're inferior, tighter, small, more identities, more personality tests, more labels, smaller aperture, smaller, tighter, smaller identity. You got to enhance your perception so that you can soften and become more powerful. Talk to other people, people that you normally wouldn't talk to, people on the bus. Hello, our neighbors, people who we disagree with. Here's a small thing that you could try. For a few weeks, do not unfollow people on social media that you disagree with. Just sit in the discomfort and the curiosity of who they are and why they think what they think. Actively seek out common ground and you will become softer. You will find a reason. You will probably find more than one reason for how you can relate to that person, a reason to have compassion, reasons that you have things in common, ideologies that you can respect even though you're not your own. You will soften, your mind will expand. You could just watch a foreign film. That's a great place to start. How to expand your mind. Don't stop your Googling on just the first page of Google. So let me break that down. You key in a search specifically on Google for something, and you settle for the links they give you on the first page of your search. Do not do that. Google is highly censored. They are just showing you what the, quote, powers want you to see. Go to the third or the fourth page and look at the resources. You'll find so many other counter perspectives. I don't even use Google anymore. I use a search engine called EcoAsia. And even then, I dig a little bit deeper because other perspectives expand my perception, enhance my mind, and help me soften as I move through the world of so many conflicting opinions. How to soften, number five, honor your commitments to yourself. Here's another way to think of this. Do not let your inner child down. Keep your word to the most tender, vulnerable, sensitive part of yourself, like any good parent. And doing this might require some accountability and a support group. Honor your commitments to yourself. And while you're there, number six, focus on your health with a holistic approach. So this is a wider perspective that helps you be more diligently gentle, I could say. A spiritual perspective on your wellness. A spiritual holistic perspective includes your body and your mind and your spirit. You're going to be asking yourself, how does having a more regulated nervous system contribute to my relationships, for better or for worse? In this point of view, in this paradigm, you look to natural medicine, which includes the instincts of your body, of your soul, your higher self, ancient healing modalities. You look to those first and foremost. And then we turn to Western allopathic medicine for crisis, not for regulation, not for, I mean, in its extreme shadow, not for tyrannical medicine, because tyranny has no place in healing. In my experience, allopathic medicine is brilliant in times of crisis. If I need the drug that I cannot get from nature, if I need to be cut open or stitched back together, I am 1008% grateful for those means. But it's not what I turn to for regulation, for affordability. Definitely has no place in my life for being the authority on what wellness looks like. A holistic approach keeps you softer because it's not as rigid. It's actually quite heart-centered because holistic is from the inside out. You are the guru of your own healing. Pliable, flexible, present. And most of the time, gentleness is somehow woven into your healing protocol. Okay, want to be more powerful? Via softness, which is really the only way to become truly powerful. Number 7, get clear on where you need to be vulnerable. Get really clear on where, because the answer will not be everywhere, on where you need to be more vulnerable. So this is really about intimacy. And speaking of intimacy, this summer, I'm going to do a whole Summer of Love series for June, July, and August, where in the Heart-Centered Membership, we're looking at all forms of intimacy in relationships, work relationships, familial relationships, loverly, sexual relationships, and how we can take a more loving, like truly loving, less ego-driven approach to all of those dances. So getting clear on where you need to be more vulnerable leads us to the question we can ask ourselves right now. Who do you need to be more deeply connected with in your life right now? Who do you need to be more deeply connected with? Which friendships could use an audit leading to like an upgrade, right? Do you need to get more human with your boss? Do you need to be more deeply connected to your team to get the results of seva and service and prosperity that you're all dreaming about? Do you need to express some more gratitude to like anybody in your family? Gratitude is often an experience of intimacy, right? An experience of vulnerability. Thank you. I needed that. I didn't know that I needed that. You gave me something I didn't know that I even wanted. And that expression creates softness, which leads to deeper connection, which only creates more alignment between you and your higher self. Power, the real stuff. Okay, number 8 on softening. How about we compromise on some of our promises? Anybody? Anybody got some thoughts about that? Okay, I'm going to swear. Fuck your principles. Yes, principles. Yes, ethics. Yes, morality. Yes, dignity. Yes, mutual respect. And there are times when the principles are born of our ego, when it's really about being right. And that ain't no way to please your soul. You know, really what we're talking about is just lightening up on the boundaries so that we don't become righteous, ego-driven, precious, unreachable, so-called high-standard people. Just compromise, you know, soften. Where can you meet them halfway? What can you let go? I think so much shit that we think matters, especially about having our needs met, does not matter at all. In fact, the stuff we prioritize about our needs is actually holding us back from what we crave the most, which is intimacy, love, connection, real power. It's actually, all those standards are actually keeping us brittle and small and grumpy and crunchy and not very powerful at all. Not really. So just, you know, compromise on some of those promises that you wanted to be kept by other people, on some of those promises that you made from that part of yourself where you're just trying to prove how committed and great and solid and overachieving you were. Maybe you can't make good on the promise. And admitting to that with responsibility is a great act of love and healing for yourself and inspiration for other people to do the same. You know, cutting yourself some slack today might be the holiest act that you can do this week. Number 9, meet your own needs. Meet your own wants and desires and aspirations. You do it. Okay, take a deep breath with me. Close your eyes if you can. Let's take a few breaths. So your breathing is natural, meaning your mouth is closed and you inhale and you exhale through your nose. You become aware of that gold, warm, friendly, luminous quality in the center of your heart. A few more breaths. You're letting your thinking, your mind drop into the cave of your heart. Okay, now I'm going to ask you a series of questions. Let's go with first thought is right thought. Here we go. What do you need right now? Today, right now, or in your life in general, what do you need? Okay, next question. First thing that comes to mind, what do you want? What do you want right now, today in your life? What's one of your highest desires? High desire. What are you aspiring for? It's one of your aspirations, your sweetest, greatest aspirations. If I just say the word aspiration, what comes into your heart mind? Okay, now can you see how you connect some of those needs, wants, desires, aspirations to other people? And of course, takes a village, takes a team. We're going to have to collaborate and dance with lots of other people and forces to get our needs met. But of those needs, wants, desires, aspirations, which of those can you fulfill for yourself? So we all have a natural, healthy need to be seen and heard, understood, loved. It's totally legit. Sometimes when we grasp too intensely, when we cling on to those needs, I gotta be seen all the time by everybody. They didn't hear me, and so I'm gonna leave. I do not feel understood, so I can't find common ground. I gotta bail. I gotta push back. I'm gonna fight, flight, freeze, or fawn because I'm not seen or heard or understood or loved. I'm out of here. I'm gonna push back. Okay. If we can just pause all of that and ask ourselves, what can we do right now, today in our lives to see ourselves, to feel and understand ourselves, to love on ourselves, to love our gnarliness, to love our brilliance, to love our neediness, our hungry ghost, to love our desires, to love our aspirations, to look under the hood? Do we journal more, contemplate more, have deeper conversations? Do we go for some therapy? Do we get a meditation practice? Yeah, you do. Do we come into heart-centered communities? Hello, of course, I have one. How can you meet your own needs? You will soften in the meeting of those needs. Gentleness is a requirement. Gentleness is a requirement for you to meet every need that you have, every want. And as you meet your needs and wants via gentleness, you will become so much more creative and powerful in your life. Okay, we're going to flip the script again here. So number 10, one of the ways that we become softer and therefore more powerful is we hold ourselves accountable for all of our small and big deeds. Hold yourself accountable for all the small things and the big things, all of it. So yes, 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 we leave lots and lots of room for mystery about what's going on in our lives and how we create our own realities. But what we're aiming for here is this kind of deep responsibility. And I'm just going to go cheesy New Age wordism here. Responsibility. We want to increase our ability to respond to all of the opportunities, to respond to our aspirations, to respond to the challenges that life and our soul and the world is delivering to us. Because it's with this deep responsibility for what we're creating that we increase our ability to create. So here's a metaphor. You're a painter. You choose the color. You choose the linen. You choose the wax, the typeface, the ink. And then you're going to work with your muse, the higher guidance, and then you frame it. Or maybe your art is song. Every word counts. It's thoughtful. Every note matters. You know this because you're the creator. You're an intentional, conscious, pliable, flexible, dancing, soft, powerful creator. And in that zone, in that embodiment, in your place of genius, your expression of genius, you are joyfully accountable. You wouldn't have it any other way. You're all in. You want to be accountable for everything, for the small details, the big details, every note, every color in the creating of the art that is your life, that is your day-to-day, that is your relationships, your work in the world. You are intentionally, responsibly, that's the word, you are responsibly choosing your thoughts. You are being accountable for every single word. You're being joyfully responsible for all of your actions. From your love notes, the clothes you wear, the things you buy, your tweets, your texts, your prayers, your invitations, your apologies, your welcomes, your glances, your presentations, your products, the tone of your words. Joyfully responsible for your existence and how you sing the song of your being in the world. You're accountable, and you wouldn't have it any other way. Whew, okay, we're going to end with a summation to this about power. But before we get to the final yard, remember, Sacred Weekends, it comes out 2 Fridays a month. It's my always free newsletter. I'm talking to the seekers. It's about devotion and lifestyle. It's everything from like some cool eco-friendly clothes and mascara to new paradigms on the divine masculine and the divine feminine, because we keep it real around here. Know that podcasts drop every Wednesday. I mean, for the foreseeable, as long as I'm around, we're going for every Wednesday with profound reliability. So please subscribe to the podcast. And then just a reminder that the gift code for this episode is for my How to Heal for Real workshop and audiobook. I'm so excited that I'm doing audiobooks. You head to DanielleLaporte.com/how-to-heal-the-3 words, and you use this code at checkout, POD108. That's POD108. And you'll get $8 off of the workshop package. So you get the audiobook, you get the video replay, and you get the slide deck. I set you up with the learning for the month. It's valid until 11:59 Pacific tomorrow, which is Thursday, April 11th. So let's review on how embodying gentleness, becoming softer, is actually the greatest true power play you can make in your life. Number one, make self-compassion a priority. Number two, sincerely apologize for any harm done. Three, protect yourself. Four, expand your mind. Five, honor your commitments to yourself. Six, focus on your health holistically. Number seven, get clear on where you need to be vulnerable. Eight, compromise on some promises. Nine, meet your own needs, your wants, your desires, your aspirations. And 10, hold yourself accountable for the small and large deeds. And that kind of power requires flexibility and flow, and it will soften you in all the right ways. And I can't make any promises, but I would venture to guess that your life will start to pulse with peace, with a quiet, steady power. It's like light, quiet and steady. And then you're going to have more energy to do what your soul wants you to do, because you're not wasting your life force on that kind of push-pull, dress-to-impress drain train. That stuff is hard. Go soft. Go go softly into the night and into the day, every day. And speaking of days, I will be here next Wednesday. With love, Danielle. Thank you so much for listening, for feeling, for spreading the word. With love.